people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG, or join us on site at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
If you have your Bible, please whip out your Bibles and let's read together while standing, and then we'll be seated. Amen.
Amen.
All right, you have our Bibles. Let's open to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. God is good. So let's read from verse 9. We'll read 9 to 13, then we'll read 2 Corinthians, and then we'll read one more scripture, and then we get into it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. Let's read together. I want to go for, we are co-laborers in God's service, or as you have in your scripture, it could be, we are co-workers. Let's go again. 1, 2, 3, go. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. Verse 10. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with what? With care. Verse 11. For no one can lay any foundation other than... Verse 12. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, 13, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it what? To light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Let's read that last line again. And the fire will test the quality. No, let's start from it to be revealed. Hold up. I'm reading from NIV in case our translations are different. So just from it to be revealed with fire. 3, 2, 1, go. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Amen. Say, my work will be tested with fire. You are not cursing yourself. Just so say it. Say, my work will be tested with fire. Am I sounding well, or is me that is sounding like I'm sounding somehow? I'm sounding somehow. Please help me. Hey, Joe, help me. Okay, so let's read first. Okay, we read first already. Let's do 2 Corinthians chapter 3 as well. We'll read 1 to 6. So just flip forward a bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Yeah, we'll read 1 to 6. Let's go. 3, 2, 1, go. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show, verse 3, and you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Verse 4, such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. Verse 6, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter, but the Spirit gives life. Hallelujah. For the letter kills, the Spirit gives life. All right, please quickly open to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. All right, let's go. Are we all there? I can switch to one there, please. All right, let's go. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19. Sorry, 18, 19. 3, 2, 1, go. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Hallelujah. Just raise your hand to God and tell God that you should please minister to you this morning. I've prayed for you already, but just pray for yourself that God minister to me this morning. There's a word, there's always a word in the season. Lord, I receive my word this morning. Minister to me. Minister to me. It's God that really knows what you need to hear this morning. I don't know. I'm just moving according to the leading of the Spirit. So the Spirit who knows beareth witness with our spirit. Right? So pray that God minister to me this morning. Let your word come. The Bible says that when your words came, I found them, I ate them, and my heart delights. So let your word come. As the word of the Lord comes this morning, Lord, help me digest it. Help me eat something healthy for my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You want to appreciate God as you have your seat this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we notice that from these two scriptures that we read, do I have to adjust anything from here? Okay. So notice that from the two scriptures that we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse, let me just mirror in on verse 6 that says that who has made us to be sufficient? Who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit? For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. And then from 1 Corinthians verse 19, who says that we are co-laborers in God's service, and we are God's field, we are God's building. We are God's building. And then we read from Proverbs that says that a brother or a friend offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. So I really want us to quickly check if we are co-laborers with Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus Christ came, Jesus Christ's service, Jesus' ministry was a ministry of service, right? What he came to do was to serve, not to be saved, was to serve. He came to heal people, that service. He came to provide that service. He came to wash his disciples' feet, that service. In any way you can think of service, Jesus Christ served, right? So that was his ministry, right? And then if he says that we have been called to fellowship or as co-laborers or co-workers, that means our ministry as well as believers is what? Is of service, right? So I want us to check our ministry in service and also offenses. Offenses. Because, you know, in our ministry, in our service, let me put it that way, this is a message that cuts across everyone. It might be something that you've gone through before. It might be something you are just coming out of or about to enter, or you don't even know when it is coming. But like the Bible says, wait for it. He that shall come. The offense that shall come. As long as this life remains, and as long as you are not doing ministry alone, offenses will always come. It will always come. If you think it has, nobody can offend me. Roll up, it's coming. All right. And then also with Ablaze coming up, I think this is, and I believe that the Holy Spirit is leading us in this direction, that this is a word in season. This is something that we actually need to hear, because we are going to be in each other's faces a whole lot from this week to next week to, when the announcements were being made, I was like, oh, man. Tuesday evangelism, Wednesday evangelism, Thursday Bible study, Friday all night, Saturday, some people still have rehearsal, Sunday we are in church, next week is ablaze already. And there's no how you'll be in people's faces like that and things won't happen. It's not possible. It's not possible. It can never be possible. All right? Can never be possible. I want us to read the book of Exodus, but we'll get there later. So I want to start by saying that if we truly understand the weight of our service to God and how privileged we are to be in his vineyard as ministers. Because if I say as servants, some people will be like, servants, how do you mean? Okay. But as ministers, that is still posh or tush enough for you. As ministers, if we truly understand the weight of our service to God or what we carry, the privilege that we have to be in his vineyard as ministers, then we will see our service and even the dispensation of our services differently. We will see it more as an opportunity than entitlement. Do you get what I'm saying? If you truly understand, if you truly understand this service that we have in our hand, you know, the Apostle Paul was saying, he said that, I make much of my ministry. If you truly understand your ministry, in whatever way you understand ministry, either in your ministry where you serve day in, day out, or your ministry as a believer. Do you understand? Because you have been called into ministry as a believer. Even before, the moment you said, dear Jesus Christ, I accept you as my Lord and my personal Savior, you have already been called into ministry as a believer.
Do you understand? Because when we say ministry, the first thing that comes to our mind because of the kind of system that we run here is maybe because I'm in choir ministry, I'm in drama protocol and whatnot. Yeah, that is also fine. That is also a ministry. But I mean, in the days of the Bible, these guys didn't have choir, they didn't have protocol, they didn't have any of those things. And they were all ministers. Do you understand? And when Jesus Christ was saying that, or when the Bible was saying that we are ministers of the new covenant, right? He was not thinking choir, protocol. No, he's just thinking that you as a believer, as a child of God, when the moment you said, "Dear Jesus Christ, I accept you as my Lord and my personal Savior," you became a minister. I didn't say you became a preacher. You became a minister of the new covenant. Okay? So that we get all these foundations straight. So if you understand this ministry that we have, you will really understand and you will know that it is an opportunity. It is not an entitlement. And there's a way we treat opportunities. When you know that, this thing is big, there's a way we go about it. We don't trifle with it. We really don't care, because we don't even want it. Whatever stays or seems to want to stay in our way, we always find a way around it. Do you understand? We don't want anything to block us from that opportunity. Do you get what I'm saying? Say, for example, you have an opportunity to meet with, no matter how much you don't like him, no matter how much we both maybe don't like him, you have an opportunity to meet with the president of this nation tomorrow by 9 a.m. Don't let us lie to ourselves. Plus, yours sincerely, I will do everything possible to be at that meeting. Do you get what I'm saying? Leave Twitter, leave all this banter. Let's talk reality. Everybody here, unless you don't know what you are doing, we will do everything possible to be at that meeting. Let's not lie. If you have planned to come and do your own prayer chain tomorrow by 9 a.m., and then you get a message by 8 a.m. self tomorrow that you have to meet with the president, and you know that it's genuine, you will shift that your prayer time. Am I lying? Yeah, I just sort of talk. Do you get what I'm saying? Because you see, the first thing you are thinking, you are seeing beyond the man. This is the first citizen of Nigeria. A lot of opportunities can come from this meeting and everything. If you are thinking like me, I'm not even thinking how much I can make from him. I'm thinking long term. I'm thinking, okay, which of these ideas can I project or can I propose to this man? Where can he even shock me in Abuja? Do you understand? I'm thinking, okay, if I'm here, who can I also bring on board? Do you understand? Because if you are thinking how much can I make from this man, your thinking is narrow. It's very small. It's very, very small. Do you understand? It's very, very, very small. But anyways, but what I'm trying to say is that you see it as a very big opportunity. Do you get what I'm saying? You see, that's a very, very big opportunity. So let's say the person that is in contact with you now calls you and say, "Hello, is your name Paul Olasode?" You say, yes, this is from the presidency, from the office of the Grand Commander-in-Chief. You know how they see that in GCFR, Kinu. And you know that it's legit. So let's not think of scam. Let's say it's very, very legit. I say, "Am I on to Paul Olasode Tinubu?" Yes, this is Paul Tinubu Olasode, Kinu. Oh, if you don't know, his middle name is Tinubu. Paul's middle name is Tinubu. You say, this Paul Olasode, yes, Kiniko. And then the person is speaking rudely. Say, "Are you available tomorrow morning, tomorrow 9 a.m? And say, yes, keep quiet, I'm still talking. You will feel like, Kini. But you can't say, is it because of I want to meet the president, you're talking to me and you're like that. Oh, your prince is the president. How many people? Victor, we are in church, oh. No, even me, I cannot. Do you understand? Because you are seeing far. You are seeing far. Do you understand? So let me go back to that. Our service in church, what we do in church, in our ministry, it is more of, is a bigger opportunity than that. We will get it. So if we understand the magnitude of what we have as individuals, do you understand? You, because let's treat it as individuals first. When you give a letter to Jesus Christ, you said, "I accept you as my Lord and my personal Savior." So if you understand what you have as an individual, magnitude of what you carry as an individual serving in the house of God, and then what we share as a family, then we will serve God with more understanding, and we'll give no place to the devil, no place, no matter how small, like this, to the devil. See, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, the mediator of the new covenant, according to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, is not ashamed to call us brothers or brethren, as your translation may have it. Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call us brethren, right? Which means that Jesus is delighted to be associated with us. Do you know what I'm saying? He's very, 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 very delighted to be associated with us. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, or while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you understand? Christ died for us. And then Jesus Christ calling us his own brethren. You were a sinner when Jesus Christ called you brethren, because he knew that you were coming to the household of faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? So everything that Jesus Christ did, everything that Jesus Christ called you, it's not like he has pre-done everything. Do you get what I'm saying? If there's any English like that, he had already done everything. He's a finished, that's why we say he's a finished work. The finished work on the cross of Calvary. It's not just a cute statement. It's a matter of, when Jesus Christ himself was on the cross, he said, it is finished. Do you understand? So that means everything that you were, everything that you are, everything that you will become, he has it, he's covered. Do you understand? The past, forgiven. The present is taken care of. The future is assured. Do you get what I'm saying? So, if Jesus Christ is now delighted to call us brothers, he's delighted to associate with us, despite our frails and imperfections, do you not think that there's something wrong? If we are here, and then we are trifling, because we are trifling with this love, and with this great opportunity that he has presented to us because of offenses. I mean, you would hear people, I cannot wrap my head around it anymore. When people say in church that because somebody did something, because somebody said something, and I will leave the ministry, and I will not do again, I will not shake any cock in the comb. See, let's talk to each other as brothers and sisters in church this morning. Do you understand? If somebody here is still taking, let's say, okay, perfect example. Saturday morning of Ablaze, we are going to have picnic, right? And then last week, that announcement, we forgot to make it. Paul will make it after, maybe before we close the service. Right? We made an announcement last week, and then some people have colors, some people are blue, some people are green, and whatever color that you are. Right? And then Ablaze Saturday morning comes, and then it's time to, and we said, come with something edible that you can share with somebody. And then somebody comes and then brings, let's say Yeshua brings Nanwan as our own picnic edible, something to share with somebody. I think there's a pack of Nanwan that is blue. Uh-huh. And then she says, me, I'm color, my color is blue. And then she's bringing Nanwan. And then let's say, Paul, Pono Museri Lakwa. You know, people are laughing because it's sounding somehow. And they're like, that's what I eat now. Be very, very sincere. What's the first question you ask? Are you okay? Are you a baby? Do you understand? Why? Because it is the level of growth is expected. Do you know what I'm saying? If I see some people here even eat Cocoa Pops. Let's say I'm passing like this, and then you are sitting here, and then you are eating Cocoa Pops. See back here. I will look again. Cocoa Pops, you want journey? Say yes. Okay. Hope you are enjoying it. Yes. In my mind, I'm like, why are you eating Cocoa Pops? Close here. Jesus. No. Don't come for me. Don't come for me. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying. I mean, Cocoa Pops, babu. I'm not saying it's bad, though. I'm just saying. What is it? Under Cocoa Pops, okay. Anyways, but nobody here should. How many people have? If you have a baby as a sibling, raise your hand. Or if you, of course, maybe if you are not the firstborn. Sorry, if you are the firstborn, or you should have younger sibling, and then you watch them grow. Yeah, that's where I'm going. You watch your younger sibling grow. Raise your hand. In your household, because this might not apply to anybody. If you put Nanwan in your house while you are growing up, and your baby brother or baby sister ate it, Eric, who did you watch grow? Why are you raising your hand? I know the last one. Who did you watch grow? If you ate your sibling's Nanwan, Auntie Eje Nanwan, Serilac. Wait, oh, you pussy Serilac. Okay, you watch. Oh, why watching that? Yeah, they are selling luck. You say it's sweet too. But you must. OG Jenny now. Now. Why? Because, Koshe, come on, you're all over. They cannot miss it in your hand. Do you get what I'm saying? So that's where I'm going, actually. Right? So what I'm trying to say is that as we have outgrown things like that, or you imagine. Trying to force in your 5-year-old, because let's say it was a Nike Air Force that your mommy bought for you when you were 5-year-old, and then now you want to force it in. Say, ah, I still like the shoes. It's still neat. Koti je, he never chop. Say, I still want to force it in. Or you have one Adidas shirt that you really like when you wear, let's say, 5 again, and then you really want to force it. It doesn't make any sense. You would tear the clothes. That's one of the things Bible was saying. When Bible was saying that you cannot pour new wine into old wine skin, right? Because one might destroy our money. You hear what I'm saying? So that is where I'm going. You cannot continue in a new dispensation with old attitude. Any small thing you have taken offenses, people are disrespectful. Oh. People will just walk out on God anyhow. Anyhow. You say you are leaving a whole ministry because somebody said something to you, because somebody behaved somehow to you. You are leaving a whole ministry. And when it was raised, I'm sure that every HOM in expression house does this. When I was HOM, I used to ask, if you're joining drama ministry, I will ask you, why are you joining this ministry? Why? So that tire will not hit the road finish, and you say you are not doing it again. Won't be that. It's by yourself that you came here to say you are doing. You must continue doing. Yeah, some people have come, they'll say, the Holy Spirit led me here. And after a while, they will say they are the ones who leave the ministry. I say, which one is it? He said that the Holy Spirit has told you again to leave, or you didn't hear from the Holy Spirit, or you want to disobey the Holy Spirit. Because if the Holy Spirit has led you somewhere, who is supposed to stay there? Who is supposed to thrive there? It will not, see, when the Bible was saying that in this world you will see many tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. What people naturally go to think of is maybe sickness, maybe poverty, maybe somebody will come and persecute me, maybe I'll be walking on the road and then somebody will point gun to me, kinikon. Some persecutions or some tribulations or some whatever word you want to call it comes in your service. I'm not saying people will not offend you. Please don't get me wrong. That's why I said that this message, some people you have experienced it before, e.g., yours sincerely. Some people, maybe you are just coming out of it. Some people, you don't even have an idea. You're like, people offend each other in church. Roll up. It's coming. Tell somebody, it's coming. And it shall come. Believers have not offended you before. When Yoruba says aya ilenu, English cannot translate some things very well. Aya ilenu is enu ma ya. You know, so I was saying that Christ is delighted to be associated with us despite our frailties and imperfections, but we are here trifling with his love because of offenses. We rather sit well within our rights. We rather sit well within our rights to other than ensure that the work of Christ is truly advancing. You know that Jesus Christ said that your name is Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. When Jesus Christ says, I will build my church, I wish this was an interactive session. What do you think Jesus Christ was saying? You think he would be the one to, for example, now in expression, I say he wants to do remodeling of the house and everything. You think the building of the church that Jesus Christ was talking about is removing the POP and the ceilings, and then putting another one, and I will build my church. I will build Ebenezer. I will build Emmanuel. I will build Yeshua. I will build Kayode. I will build anybody. Every believer that identifies with me. That is the church. I mean, when Jesus Christ is coming back when he's coming back for us, he says, I'm coming back for my bride, right? Without blemish, without wrinkle, right? And his church is his bride, right? Is he coming for this building? Is he coming for the big edifice in ICC? Is he coming for this building? He's coming for me and he's coming for you. And then when he comes, like that parable in the Bible, and he says that, that which I have entrusted in your hands, what have you done with it? Jesus said, you can understand now. The way they spoke to me, the way they treated me is not bad. And human beings, we have found a way to wrap God. As it saw along, we've turned God to understanding God. The way we have understanding girlfriend and understanding boyfriend, we have now created a version for God, understanding God. When we want to do things our way, we just find emotions around this, and then we say God will understand. And as a matter of fact, God will actually understand. Right? But it is you that does not understand. You do not understand that immediately you are thinking God will understand. Replacement, ASAP. There's replacements. Do you understand? Saul was thinking, God will understand. God will understand. Did God not understand? God understood, but already there was David. Do you understand? Gehazi was thinking God will understand. In 2 Kings chapter 5, God will understand. God will understand. God understands I'm poor. God understands I need the money, the clothes that the king brought and everything. And he went to take it. Did God not understand? God understood. By 2 Kings chapter 6, there was always another servant for Elisha. Do you get what I'm saying? So the moment you say, I'm not doing again, God that can say that if I can make stones, he will make stones rise and worship him. And what are you? Out of 7 billion people, you think it's your withdrawal that will now make the work of God stall? Come off it, my dear. Come off it. Come off it. Sometimes it just looks like we quote the scriptures on our lips. You know, it's very sweet when we quote it on our lips. But really, the workings of the scripture, are we actually working? Are we actually working according to what we are quoting? Or according to what we are reading? Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Almost everybody here knows that scripture. I've been crucified with Christ. I like to read Amplified because there's a part that I really like in Amplified. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. That is, in him, I have shared his crucifixion. If you truly share in Jesus' crucifixion, in actual, literal crucifixion of Jesus, no, don't let us paraphrase it, like literal crucifixion of Jesus, nailing of hands, wearing of crown of thorns, and all of those things. How many people here piercing by the side with spear? How many people here can actually share in that? How many? No matter how tough skin you are, no matter how manchy you are, your manchy, pardon me. Do you understand? Nobody can actually share in that crucifixion. I mean, the old apostles, even the one that said that, Jesus, wherever you go, I will go. I will die with you. When it was time, everybody, they ran. Do you understand? They ran. Even Jesus himself, for you to know that it's not a child's play. He said, God, if this cup can pass over me, however, not my way, but your way. You think it was the way we watch? I don't know. Maybe it's the films that we have watched. Some of these things, or the calendars that, and you know, when we see Passion of Christ, and then they whip Jesus one, woo, and say, and then they whip another one. It's small. If I deck some people here, you, like I always tell Paul, do you want to be deaf? If I slap you, do you understand? If some people deck some, have you seen some people's hand? Have you seen how wide some people, they want to buy food, they don't need place. Tara is 200. Do you understand? Their hands are down. If those kind of, if they slap you, you will need to see ENT. If they slap you, what big block is? I'm telling you, that's small compared to. I watched one video on IG. One pastor that was describing, he had a presentation. He was describing the suffering of Jesus Christ. How that, some of you have seen the video. I had goosebumps. I've read it again and again and again. I've watched movies about it again. The way he described it, bruh. How that, imagine, we don't have such quality anymore. But for something that we can all relate with or relate to, imagine Koboko. Everybody here knows Koboko. If you don't know Koboko, there's nothing I can do. You don't know Koboko, not yet. Imagine Koboko. Imagine lacing Koboko with blade. Imagine lace. It's not one blade though. Like from top to bottom. You know the way ladies' clothes always have stones. The way they lace it. So imagine lacing Koboko with blade like that. Top, like some. So Koboko have like two strands. Some have four. So just, let's say you have three strands. And each strand is laced. Each strand is laced with, like, let's say 30 blades. Another strand, 30 blades. That's like 90 blades on one piece of Koboko. And then it's very long. It's actually a whip. It's not Koboko, but just for sake of understanding. And then when they whip Jesus one like this, the thing will go round. And then, I mean, for you, you can't just whip him and leave it there now. You have to pull it. So when you are pulling it out, what do you think is coming out? Blood. Flesh. So that kind of beating is what they will now give you one. You do, you know what I'm saying? Or you do, ouch, okay. Plunge out. Ouch, Chini. Ha! He cried. He wailed. Do you understand? So that's what I'm saying, that we can't, so in the literal meaning, we can't share in the crucifixion. Do you understand? So your own little offense in your ministry, in church, Egbami. What if you are not the one to die for us? Imagine all that Jesus Christ went through. Today, even our own consistency in our spiritual life is not there yet. 1 week we are praying on fire. The next week we don't even know if we are still born again or not. The next week we are back. The next week we are back. And Jesus is still just there loving you. He's not taking his salvation back from you. He's not saying, oh yeah, give me 1 pint of blood. I want to collect some of my blood back. He's not doing that. Some people even lie in the name of Jesus. And he's just there. Every time you say forgive me, he forgives you. But you, one person, now offends you. And then you think that you can hold divinity responsible for an error caused by humanity. You are not serious. You are not serious. Let's face the truth. Let's call a spade a spade. When the Apostle Paul said that when it is time to eat strong meat, eat it. Leave milk. All of us, as in milk, as in family, jedi. Leave milk. Let's talk the truth. You are not serious. You know, I watch some people. Okay. And I be like, in my mind. You know, the way when some people talk to you, the way you want to respond in your mind, if you respond like that, things might scatter. So you have to be very, very diplomatic about it. But there are some people that have made up my mind that henceforth, a level of growth is expected from you. Do you know what I'm saying? When I came to Expression House in 2014 from Potter's Planet, the level of responsibility and accountability that pastor expected from me is not the same that he expects now. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand? Say, for example, there are some people in this church now that if they come to church, let's say in October now, let's say their first Sunday is in October. If they come to church one Sunday in October, it doesn't matter the time they come. Leave the time. Just let's see them in church. We almost share testimony. Do you hear what I'm saying? Say, you came to church today. Thank you, Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying? There are some people that if they come, service starts by 8. If they come 8, we will hold them to their jaw like this. That, why are you coming by this time? Don't you know that you are late? There is difference. Do you understand? So you cannot be in the category of the later or be latter and expected to be treated the way we treat the former people. Do you know what I'm saying? You've been in Expression House, you know, from when we're homologio to now that we are ablaze, and then you are still taking offenses, and you are saying you are not doing ministry again. You are not serious. Tell yourself, I'm not serious. I'm serious. You are not serious. It's true. You've been in church. I know that growth has levels. Do you understand? Some people, the way they just catch up and then they go pa 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 pa. But whatever level that you are in your growth, a level of growth, Do you understand? So, because everybody here likes food, I suppose. Lillian, let me know. Do you get? Let's use food as an example. Nobody here eats nanwan anymore. Right? But that doesn't mean that we all eat on the same level. There are some brothers in this church that they are just graced. They are just graced. You don't want food to waste, they are there for you. And also some sisters, because some sisters even function in that ministry better than some brothers. Do you get what I'm saying? However, there are some people that, let's say where somebody is finishing 5 cups of rice, somebody is still struggling with a cup of rice. Point is, they are both eating rice. Nobody is eating nanwan. Do you get what I'm saying? So if you are saying that level of growth, at least there is a growth. You are not where you used to be. That's the point. So if you want to pamper, say, there's level of growth, let us actually see that there is growth somewhere. Do you understand? You can't be where you were yesterday. We want to move from here to here. And every 30 minutes, we expect that you take a step. And then first 30 minutes, you are here. Second 30 minutes, you are here. Third 30 minutes, you are here. Fourth 30 minutes, you are here. And you are saying we should not question you why you are still here. No. Resources go into every service. Pastor screams every Sunday. We cannot be putting all these investments and then we will not expect ROI from your lifestyle. No. This is not where people just be ma for pylori. No, ma for pylori. Ori e koma. See, let's say the truth. One thing that I've known in this life is that we all know what we are doing. We all know what we are doing. Everybody in this auditorium, I don't care your age, I don't care. We don't have first timers today. God so good. So all of us now, we day here. We all know. 26 minutes here. I said, just give me 13 minutes now. You are giving me 26 minutes. We all know what we are doing. We know what we are doing. And it's because, that's why I made that example. It's because we can see the opportunities. Let's say maybe when a governor, in fact, governor said it's too much. President is too much. Okay, let's just say that's what everybody, because if I call some names now, some people might not be able to relate. Okay, let's say at least everybody here knows who a president is. So let's say, it's because you can already see the opportunities that lie in that meeting. That's why you are treating it as very, very important. But because you cannot physically see the ones that lie in your service to God, you are not taking it as God, you understand. You turn God to understanding God.
Continue. Growth is expected. You can't keep walking out of God because of offenses. You cannot. It's not possible. See all these things that we are today, there are some things that we shouldn't even hear anymore. There are some things that, they should be bygone already. Already, they should have gone. We don't need it anymore. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, I like to read from Amplified again, but you can project whatever version you have. For our struggle is not against flesh. I didn't even finish my Galatians that I was reading. Anyways, let's read Ephesians so we can move. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. If day in, day out, it is who did not greet you well that you are seeing. It is who said something nasty to you that you are hearing. It is, and all of those things are distracting you from serving God. When do you even now want to fight the real warfare that you should fight as a believer? When? That's why people don't grow. Yeah? That's why people don't grow. People that take offenses so much. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you should not be offended. Do you understand? However, let offenses not lead to you making statements like, I'm not even doing again. Do you get? You can, if you do something that will get, if the Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. I mean, there were people in the scriptures, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he was offended. He turned his offense into something good. He went into the synagogue. He beat all of them out. And then he says that Psalm 69 verse 9. He says, the zeal of your house has consumed me. The insult of those who... Please give me that scripture. Psalm 69 verse 9. That insult verse, I like it. The zeal for your house has consumed me. And the insult of those who insult you fall on me. So, despite the offenses, he turned it around to do something good. He didn't walk away. Do you get what I'm saying? Jesus didn't walk into the synagogue and then he sees people buying and selling and exchanging money on tables and he's like, is this people I came to die for? Oh God, me, I'm not doing all this. They are not even serious. He's going to say, he didn't do that. He went there. He keep them woto woto. Do you understand? And then he quoted from Isaiah, from Psalm, that the zeal for your house has consumed me. See, when zeal consumes you, you are almost deaf to offenses. You can't. Those things don't move you anymore. See, it's like when we build spiritual capacity, it's likened to a wall. Do you get what I'm saying? It's likened to a wall. If I build a paper wall, let's say I get cardboard, right? And then I use cardboard to build a wall. The only thing that can happen is you most likely won't see me and I won't see you because the cardboard is there. But with one punch, the cardboard, everything down. Do you get what I'm saying? If I go on and then I build with chipboard, you know chipboard? Chipboard is a bit stronger than cardboard. And then you punch, maybe at max. Maybe someone that doesn't have a strong punch, you punch it twice, it's down. You can't compare that with when you build with brick. For this pillar now, say you want to punch this pillar down. People will look twice. That's how it is spiritually. Some people, your spiritual capability is still built with paper. That's why anything, it has gotten to you. Anything, if it has gotten to you, just they took emotion, enter everything. Come on. If you want to work for God, work for God. If you don't want to work for God, don't work for God. Let us know where you are. Let us know if you are still believing God for your spiritual growth or you are growing already so that we can move on to other people and believe God for them. Don't waste our belief. Do you get what I'm saying? There are a lot of people to believe God for. God, we are still believing you for Paul. We are still believing for Lord Umelo. When Paul already should be believing for other people.
Jesus Christ said, the devil wants to sift you, but I've prayed for you. When you are strengthening other people, people that you are still following up, people that should be following up people. Why? It's not right. It's not proper. Let's quickly read from John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verse 57 to 62. Is that 62 really that? But I just want us to read through. I see these apostles when they were making mount. John chapter 9. Jesus went onto the Mount of Olives. Let's go. No, John chapter 9, verse 52. Abi, what did I say? John 9, 57. Sorry. There's no 57 in John 9. It was the Quran scripture. Where they were asking that the cost of following Jesus. Jesus said, I want to go and bury my daddy. Jesus said, I want to go and bury my something. Please help me to find the scripture. Help me. Say what now? Let's move on. Anyways, what Jesus Christ was saying was that you cannot, the scripture that says that you cannot put your hand to the plow and then look back and say you are not doing again. You are not fit for the kingdom of God. That's the scripture I'm actually looking for. That's it. So well now, the last bit of it. If you find it, please let me know. Thank you. So as we are saying, do you want to be offended or you want to serve God? Because when you walk into this place, thank you, Luke. Thank you. Luke 9, I was saying John 9. Thank you. And Jesus said unto them, or unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So here, once you say you want to do. Do you get what I'm saying? Once you say you want to do. You can not look back. You are not fit for the kingdom of God. You are not fit for the work. But that's why the Bible, have you noticed that every time the Bible is always saying that soldiers of Christ, because soldiers now go then the year old, then the year come back again. Do you get what I'm saying? So if Jesus Christ says this is the way, that's the way we are going, you cannot let. See, this is what happens when people are offended, and then they just feel like I'm going to sit well within my rights. Kinikon. Over time, what you actually want, let me tell you what you want. What you want is apology. Jiget is apology. You want the other party to see that you are right and they were wrong. Right? If you don't get that apology the way you want to get it, right, you begin to owe that person. God now help you, or God does not help you. The person is now in the place of authority. Maybe your leader, an escort in your ministry. The person says anything. As the person is saying it like this, either you like it or not. In your heart, you are rebelling already. It's a matter of time. You are rebelling already. After a while, you begin to resent the person. If you want to be very, very, very truthful with yourself, you begin to resent the person. You don't want to hear from the person. You don't want to see the person. Because of that person gone, maybe you know this is the person that will take meeting. You might not come for meetings. Small. It's small. It's little. The Bible calls it little foxes. Little foxes. You'll be like, I'm taking it too far. I'm not taking it too far. I'm telling you things I've seen. Before you know, you start coming to church. And then you start making statements like, even us that don't go to church, we are purer than Christians that go to church. Something is beginning to be wrong with you. In fact, something has been wrong with you since, only that you don't know. I'm telling you, before you know, God is everywhere. I can worship God in my house. Before you know, if you don't watch it, even that God that you think you can worship in your house, you begin to question him. Because you cannot be out of somewhere and then you are just left like that. If you are not with God, you are with the other guy. You don't. If you are not in faith, you are in something, only that you don't know yet. Devil can't just leave you like that now. If you know that, this one is with God, okay, he will leave you alone. He knows that he has no place. But if you know, the Bible says that when a man is delivered, the devil, they will leave him for a while, and then they will come back. When they come, and then they see that the place is vacant. that the place is vacant. So when you make yourself vacant like that, he will give you what to do. You might not know, but he will give you what to do. He will give you what to do. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, Moses was saying to the children of Israel, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, he says, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live." My dear, today, meet what I said before you, offenses or service. The one that you want to choose, choose. Because people are so entitled in the... I don't know if it is a Pentecostal thing. I don't know. I honestly don't know. The way you hear some people say, wait, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, there's something I want to say that I cannot say from the pulpit. This is why you stop serving God. You say, hey, yes now. Say, you cannot do that. And then the diplomatic me will now come again. You cannot do that. Kiniko. Bible says in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 15. But if it is unpleasing in your sight to serve the Lord, I like this one. If it is unpleasing in your sight to serve the Lord, the choice is yours. Then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers, in this context, whether offenses, whether the gods your father served before the Ephrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me, and my house, we will serve the Lord. The choice is yours. As I say, everybody here, we know what we are doing. So either you want to serve the Lord, is left to you. If you do not want to serve the Lord, is left to you. If you want to keep taking offenses, everything that they throw at you like this, you are taking offense. I'm not doing it again. You walk out, you walk back in. You walk out, you walk back in. The Bible says we cannot continue in sin and expect grace to abound. Saul was doing it. He was doing it. The Bible says when the Spirit of the Lord left him, and then the Spirit will come to torment him, he will call for somebody to come and play instruments. They will play it. His head will calm down. You will go and misdo again. He will call for somebody to come and play instruments. They will play instruments. His head will calm down until he did it to the point of destruction that he killed himself. A whole soul. The Bible says that he died as if he was not anointed. If you want to serve, if we truly, understand who God is, you will know that offenses are only there for one reason, for one cause, and it's to make a shipwreck of your faith. It's not really to fight somebody. It's to get to that point that you actually say, I'm not doing it again, and then you walk out. If you like, go to, and then the one way they amuse me pass. It's good that I say that I've prayed about it, and the Holy Spirit said I should go to another church. Now say, and then, you know, people are funny. You say, you are talking to somebody, and then he says, I've prayed about it, and the Holy Spirit says I should go to another church. Say, you now ask me, what do I think? I say, but you just said the Holy Spirit says you should go to another church. I should say you should stay. Please. When Paul was writing to Timothy, and then he says, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made the good confession before many witnesses, right? He was talking about his place in the local church. Do you understand? He was talking about his place in the local. I mean, see, all this we are fighting the devil, we are fighting, but the Bible says already that the victory is ours. We are more than conquerors. You want to fight with Jesus Christ at fault? Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, I come home. I say, that boxer, I fought him. This is the belt we have won. And I say, this is the time I'm going to fight him. Why? He's down already. Do you understand? So if the Bible is now saying that we should fight the good fight of faith, remember that in the word faith, devil has no appearance in it at all. He has no business with faith. He has no appearance. So if the Bible is saying that we should fight the good fight of faith, I'm not sure. I don't think so. That the Bible has devil anywhere in this play. Do you get what I'm saying? So the good fight of faith is not that one that you kill your enemies. No. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not the one you kill your enemy. It's your place in the, one of them, let me put it that way, is your place in the local church. In the local church. If it was not so important, we won't have churches. Trust me, we will not. We will not. I mean, there are 7 churches in the book of Revelation. Only Revelation alone, there are 7 churches. So sometimes, even me as a believer, I would say, why do you have so many churches in this world? God said, I think like that sometimes. I won't lie to you. I say, why do we have so many churches? And from my house to this place, okay, you can count, I'm not even exaggerating, you count more than 100 churches. And I'll be like, I'm coming from that distance to come to church here. Do you understand? And they're just like, some things God has just, that this is the way it's going to be. Just, you just flow in it. That's why I don't understand the place of. So if the Holy Spirit is telling 5 people from this church to leave and go to another church, and then the Holy Spirit is telling 10 people from that other church to go to another church, is it civil servant's work that they move you from one state to another? Have you a policeman? This month, you are, have you this year, you are in Maiduguri. Next year, you are one rotating. Are you a player? You now turn yourself to, what's the name of this boy? Morata. Every transfer window, he's going from club to club. Every transfer window, he has a club that he's going to. It's not like that. Bible says that do not forsake the company of fellow believers. You can't even grow that way. You cannot. You can't. Your place in the local church and your dedication to God's service is part of the good fight of faith that you must fight. And will it come easy, my dear? No, it will not. Is it going to be a walk in the park? Of course not. It's not going to be easy. People will offend you. It's normal. It's normal. It's part of life. It's part of life. If you go to a church or to a gathering and everybody is just trying to please everybody, there's something wrong somewhere. There's eye service somewhere. There's hypocrisy somewhere. Do you get what I'm saying? Everybody, don't let me say what I want to say now. I don't know if the people in my ministry will be offended. I'm not saying you should be rude. Do you get what I'm saying? But if at every time, every point in time, we are just very careful of, hope I've not offended you. Bless you, sister. Bless you. Hey, man, contention. Hey, offend her, man. What are you saying? The Bible says, see where, that's why I say that. The world is not, you see, this work is not, is we are soldiers. It's go. It's not up for deliberation. God is not saying, okay, so this is what I think, right? I think that when somebody offends you, I think that you should go to the person and, you know, make it out with the person and all of it. And then you'll be like, God, hold up. I think instead of, no, he's saying go. He says, no, that's why I said that if you take offenses too much, right? Or you hold people and then you say, you're not doing again. You are not a spiritual person. You are not a person giving to prayer. Because the Bible says that if you kneel down to pray and you remember that you have a brawl with somebody, you stand up and go and make peace. It doesn't even matter if you are the one. The Bible didn't say that if you are right. That's why I first said that. It's not a case of entitlement. And then the apostle, when Bible, you know, Jesus Christ was not talking later on. You know, somebody has said, how many times should we forgive our offenders? What did Jesus Christ say? 70 times, 7 times. So you, that's what? 490 times in a, if they offend you 490 times in a day, who do you think the problem is? 490 times. How are you even talking to 490 people in a day? Are you a public speaker every day? We know the truth, though. We know the truth. That's why I love that the Bible didn't say that prayer will set you free. It says the truth that you know will set you free. So when you are ready to be free, go and walk in the truth. Kojubelo. Brethren, please. Let's fight the good fight of faith. You go, don't, I'm not, see, it's not like I'm begging you. They say, please don't go to another church. Please don't leave your ministry. Kiniko. At this point, if you want to leave, go. People have left, people have come back. People will leave, people will come. People are leaving, people are coming. It's the work of God. One thing I've come to understand in my years of service is that the work of God can never suffer. It can never, no matter how much skill and anointing you have, you can never be greater than the word that has been commissioned to you. It was commissioned to you. It's not you that commissioned it to yourself. You are not the commissioner. You are the commissionee. You know what I'm saying? The work of God can never suffer. Let's stay and build together. Let's stay and build together. Let's stay and... I was having a conversation with somebody at work, you know, we were just talking. And then, you know, he just said something. He said he has noticed something, that people who are workers in church, that they handle their work well in the workplace. I said, He said, yes, that if I can, that I should pay attention to it. It's just because me, the kind of work I do, I don't really know who is actually a worker in church, who isn't a worker in church. But he said that he has noticed this. that he has been to, you know, organizations and places, and then when he sees people that's up and doing and everything, he engages them. And then he finds out that they are actually, it's the same thing in church. Do you understand? And me, as well, I've noticed that people, I want to say in church, it's true. People that you get, when they get to work too, you get, they cannot be, you cannot be, if you are not diligent, you cannot be. You are only diligent at work. If you are not diligent in church, you are only diligent at work because of the money you are being paid. It's a matter of time. It will show. We just read from the scriptures now that either you are building with gold, with silver, with wood, with hay, with whatever you are building with, fire will come and it will burn it and it will pass the test of time. So that work that you are doing in the work of God, and then nobody has offended you, and every day is just rosy and it has not passed the test of time. Hold up, it's coming. Until it passes the test of time, and then you are still standing, and you are still serving, and then you are still everything. That's when we know that this one truly means business. Do you get what I'm saying? That's when we know that this one means business. I'm rounding up. Today, 1 hour. So we have to consciously and intentionally die to the flesh daily. It's a daily affair. Excuse me. It's a daily affair. It's not, I did it yesterday, it's to cover for the week. It does not work that way. It does not work that way. If truly you die to the flesh daily, if you put, for example, Chidera was sharing her testimony, and then she says, dogs, you know, were almost going to attack her and not everything. If a dog runs into this place now, if you hear my voice, I'm telling you, it's from the back, it's from the door. I don't muse. Dog care. Now imagine a lion. Yeah, some people will still stay. Some people want to match your eyes. You know, dog. I know how to pet it. I just said, you want to pet it there. No, but if you can, it's fine. Dog, some people actually still stay. People like Samuel. No matter how, Samuel will stay. I want to Let's say lion now runs into this place. If you like, study wildlife and ecotourism management from now till tomorrow. Is lion that we are talking about, or tiger, runs into this place. Everybody, Auntie Gonto will use. Abi Auntie might be rougher. Everybody, you will know that there are openings in these walls. The way you would have gotten outside, you'd be like, Omo, how did I get outside? This window that you think is closed, I'm telling you, it is opened. It is opened. Places that you think that there's no way here, there are ways. You think there are just two doors that are open? There are 10,000 doors in this place that are opened. Let a lion run inside this. Everybody will make it outside. Is there everybody that will make it outside through the doors? You will see somebody jumping through the window. Close the window. You will use it to smash it. They say, don't worry, we'll treat it later. Let me first get out. Do you understand? Everybody will run because the lion is alive. But if the lion is dead, I know some people will still be scared. But if they bring a dead lion here now, and then they do everything, and then you confirm that the lion is dead. If you kick the lion, will he respond? If you tell the lion you don't know how to sing, will he respond? If you tell the lion you are not singing for a month, will he respond? If you tell the lion you are not leading prayer for the next 2 months, will he respond? If you tell the lion, you are back in the stage when you are acting, don't even know how to act, will he respond? Why? Because it has died to self. But because we are always alive to self. So small thing like this, you don't grab them. Small thing like this, you don't grab them. But if truly you are dead to self, they say all of those things, it will not. It cannot. Because they are talking to a dead man. When my daddy died, the day of his burial, and then they brought the coffin, and then, you know, they opened the coffin. I went to shake his hand. You know, he was just like, I just say, daddy, stand up now. Guinea come. The man just dead there. You don't know anything. How your parara, what will they do? You don't know anything. You know, he just dead there. Do you understand? That kind of man, if you tell him, what did they do this man? See, as a black. Mm-hmm. You don't know. He's gone. That's how we should be. That's the meaning of dying to flesh. Dying to flesh. It's when you are dead in the flesh that you can be alive in the spirit. But when you are alive in flesh, you are dead in the spirit. You cannot be alive in two places. It's not possible. And you cannot be dead in two places. It's not possible. If one is dead, one is alive. One is alive, one is dead. So you know for yourself which one is dead, which one is alive. It's understanding, you know. All these things is understanding. When we just say, when we truly, truly understand what we have and the ministry that we have been called to. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I hope that at the end of the day, this is something all of us will be able to say. That I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. And if truly this is something that you can say, then Jesus too will now respond to you. According to Mark chapter 25, 23. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Hallelujah. Let's rise on our feet.
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible so that you can know him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.